Hey, everybody, this is Wim Benz, founder of Lakewood Brewing Company. I wanted to let you guys know that this podcast with Guns N' Hoses Organization of North Texas was recorded before the tragic events that occurred in downtown Dallas on July 7th. It just goes to show that now more than ever, these organizations are very important to the community. We support them and hope that you will too. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Taproom Talks. I'm Wim Benz, founder of Lakewood Brewing Company. In the studio with me today, as always, is Craig and Zach, our creative team.
Hello.
Yeah.
Today, we'll be talking to recently retired, Lieutenant David Swaby, who's the executive director of the Guns N' Hoses Foundation of North Texas. He's going to be giving us the lowdown on Guns N' Hoses, how they got involved in the brewery, and how we partnered with them and made a beer, and introduce us to Don Alexander, the Raging Cajun, three-time fighter of the Guns N' Hoses annual boxing tournament, and this year will be the 15th annual boxing tournament for Guns N' Hoses. So, hi, Mr. Swaby.
How are you guys today?
I am fantastic, sir.
How are you doing? Fantastic.
Thank you all for coming. Being a part of this, I appreciate this. We're really, really looking forward to it, getting kind of excited, getting close. A couple weeks out now. We've got all the fighters locked in, and they've been, they're training throughout the Metroplex. You start off with the what you consider, 20, 21 fights, and, these guys are coming from, as far away as Mineral Wells, Denton, Corsicana.
Let's back up and give everyone a little bit of background on what we're talking about and who you guys are as an organization, so how it was founded and what it all stands for and how you got involved with it.
Was a police officer for the city of Garland 35 years, recently retired. In 1989, I was in K-9 training one night. Did not know at the time that an officer had been involved in a shooting. He fell victim to the assailant. Got involved in the apprehension and capture shootout of the suspect. 1989, Garland Police Department didn't have an honor guard. Come to find out, I was the only one that raised my hand and knew even how to hold a flag, so I became the instant honor guard. Dallas PD, very experienced in what they do, unfortunately buried too many, came over and did the gravesite 21-gun salute and the procession, but I and a captain at the time in the Garland Police Department folded the flag. We buried two other comrades in the course of the next 8 to 10 years and had an opportunity to be a part of several funerals. And you sit there and you're in the audience and the ladies 75 rows up front. And there's 3,000+ cops and firemen there. And you think to yourself, this is great and all, but, we're really not helping her. What if we all gave $5? I mean, couldn't this be something to assist them tomorrow? I mean, death is obviously nothing anyone expects, especially when you go to work. So we created a concept based on a gentleman that was from ringside, and I run an amateur boxing program for the police department, so it kind of went hand in hand. The guy at ringside said, hey, have you ever talked to the guys in St. Louis? They do this event called Guns N' Hoses. It's where cops and firemen come together once a year and they box, raise money for charity. So we spoke to the gentleman. He said, the one thing you have to realize, it's not easy to get off the ground, but if you can get it, the excitement that it stirs is epic. And boy, was he not, he was on point. Our very first event came together faster than we were prepared. We had to move it to January of 2003. We wanted to do it in November. All the cops and firemen were upset because they said, hey, we're training for boxing, and now you got us can't eat Thanksgiving or Christmas. And we're all having to starve ourselves. And we had 2,500 people show up at the very first show, and it was at the Mesquite Rodeo Arena.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of taken off from there, and this is our 15th anniversary for it. We've since added a golf tournament that's quite large, almost 500 golfers annually. We have a hockey tournament, which is just police versus firemen. Just a lot of things going on around the Metroplex with us. And the funds raised are benefiting what would be the 17 counties of North Texas, soon to be additional counties with the help of Lakewood, our wonderful partner, as we move into the Abilene, Wichita Falls area, which is wonderful. But yeah, we're given... With the death of a firefighter or a police officer, we're actually there within the first 48, 72 hours, and we try to give a check for $10,000, and we hope to raise that number soon. Mm-hmm. We also give every child from the fatality, any of the kids, a $1,000 scholarship, mm-hmm. not to go to college, just basically to graduate mm-hmm. high school. So,
mm-hmm.
We're excited. This year looks like it's going to be a big show. This will be our fourth year in Allen. Allen's very receptive to the growth of it, and we've seen a lot of good things coming with them. And, you know, we got the Hooters Calendar Girls coming this year again to be part of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the great beer on the floor, Alcohol, blasting it out. We're really excited about all of that. And, you know, kind of take this back just a step, not to be disrespectful to my wonderful wife of 36 years, but I'm the gun, she's the firefighter, so she's the hose.
Mm-hmm.
And we use that often, and there's a medallion that hangs in the backyard, so whatever team wins, that color ribbon gets to hang in the backyard for that remainder of the year. So it's sitting blue right now, but she wants to change it.
Nice. Well, and I guess Don's going to have something to do with that then.
Yeah, Don's a successful pugilist he's done three events. And actually, to be honest with you, he's probably one of the reasons that Hooters came on board. He actually had a relationship with one of the ladies there in the office. Having Don come on board and bring those Hooters girls really helped us tremendously, believe me.
Thank you, Don, for all you do.
Whatever I can do to help out.
So, Don, you're third time fighter?
Yes.
Yeah? So, third year to... This will be your fourth year to fight. So, so what do you do to train? Do you have a training regimen a couple of months before, or are you always in tip-top shape?
Oh, no. My coach would definitely say that I have those moments, those high and lows. But about 4 months out, it's an hour of lifting, an hour of cardio, where we're doing 15 rounds, 3 minutes each of shadow boxing, focus mitts, mm-hmm. and my 1 minute of rest is doing push-ups, sit-ups, and sled pushes. So
nice rest time. Sounds restful.
Yeah.
And then there's the punishment phase, where if I gain a pound from the following week, then it's 100 lunges for each pound I gain.
But what if it's a pound of muscle?
No.
It's never a pound of muscle.
No.
Demir always tells the truth.
Yes.
Right. There you go. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to talk about the new releases that we have coming up this month. So coming up this month on new releases... out right now.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Today. Right now.
It's the
today. It's French Quarter Day, everybody. Yay!
Yes!
Yay! Get your beads. It's Midi Gras.
It's Midi Gras. No one knows what that means.
It's Midway tomorrow.
Let me tell you what French Quarter means. It's one of our Seduction Series beers. And we partner up with our friends over at Noble Coyote Coffee Roasters.
Yes, shout out to Kevin and Marta over at Noble Coyote Coffee.
And they do this really cool thing where we get them a bourbon barrel. They take fair trade green coffee beans.
Peruvian Cajamarca coffee.
Thank you, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them in bags, and they actually age those green coffee beans inside the bourbon barrel. They then roast that coffee.
And it is awesome.
They get it to us while it's still hot, put them into a fermenter, put hot water on top of them.
With chicory. Yeah, that's
That's very key. Thank you, Craig. Very key is the chicory
that's
to give it that New
it
Orleans.
The French Quarter.
It's the New Orleans flair, man. That's not a New Orleans accent.
Kind of Boston-y.
Boston-y.
Is this somewhere?
New Orleans.
Drunken tour
it's
of the
New
U.S.
It's New Orleans, man.
Oh, God.
No?
That was way terrible.
I don't know what New Orleans sounds like. Never been. We have chicory. We have coffee. We then pump filtered temptress on top of that, infuse it with all the yummy goodness that comes out of that incredible coffee and that chicory flavor.
Let me just say, being in the room when Kevin roasts that coffee, dude.
Being in the brewery when they put...
incredible.
Oh,
and I can say I've had the coffee just by itself, and it's like drinking a cup of coffee with a shot of bourbon in it. It's amazing.
Out today. Enjoy.
Get it. Yes, look enjoying for it now it. On draft and in 22-ounce bombers at your local favorite craft retailers.
And it's so yummy, yummy. I loves it. Well, let's talk about how Guns N' Hoses and Lakewood Brewing kind of found each other, right? So it was 2012. We had just opened up the brewery, and in walks Lieutenant Swavey in full uniform, and I think everyone's ass kind of puckered there for a second, and we went, hey, there's a cop here Somebody came and got me. They're like, hey, dude, there's
What did we do?
There's a cop here. So I went out and I was like, okay, well, let's everybody be cool. And,
well, and you also have to add that Swaby in a uniform was a little intimidating. The guy walks in and he looks like he's about ready to throw down, and you're doing, oh God.
Yeah, it's a it was a dark navy or black uniform, and it's, you know, he's got, you get your full utility belt on, and you're ready to rock and roll, and you know, I went out there. I was like, hi, can I help you? How you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, I like beer.
Yeah, you were like, so what's going on here?
I just want to drop by and, you know, see what you guys are doing. Immediately diffused the tension, and you know, we had a lot of cops come by when we were in construction, and it was great getting to know our local law enforcement, and feeling a lot better that they knew us. It's always comforting to know that the you know, the local PD's got your back, and they're, you know, coming around on patrol just to make sure that that everything's cool. That's been really great.
Yeah, it was you know, being a 35-year cop and seeing the other city's kind of growth rate probably taking off a lot bigger than Garland, to have something of that magnitude show up in Garland was quite shocking to us. I'm like, you know, here I am coming to the end of my career, and now we're going to have a brewery. One of my favorite. If you go to North Park and you see the trains, for the holidays, one of the best ones that I see is the one where all the breweries are at, and literally how the trains used to feed all the breweries right there, and you know, the stories of Stroh's and all the things that came and went, and my parents owned a bar for some 26 years, and
So talk about that a little bit. You got a little bit of background in the beer biz on the retail side.
Yeah, my father actually was a volunteer firefighter, and he worked, you know, up north and across the country, 65-70% of all firefighters are volunteer. You get outside the major city. So in the state of Pennsylvania, there's bars that actually are funding sources for the fire stations, and they're literally connected. They call them fire halls to speak of, and they have fundraisers all the time. They'll have cookouts, but it's a full-service bar with a restaurant, and you know, it was funny because I'm growing up as a kid, and they're out throwing horseshoes, or my dad's bartending there, and next thing you know, the Claxton goes off, and they got a fire uniform on, and here they go, and they're rescuing drownings or whatever they're doing. And my father at some point decided that he would open his own bar. It was unique because when they first opened in late 80, you know, the staple beers were obviously in the East, you know, Stroh's and Miller and, you know, old genuine draft type stuff, you know, the original Miller Champagne and Kohler and Genesee and things of that nature. But in the very far back corner, maybe a six pack, you'd see something like Yingling. But over time, in that 26-year period, it went from the evolution of beer to where Yingling was the number one beer in the cooler, and craft became very well known. And you know, it's interesting to hear the story how Wim came and how this all kind of got started in the backyard and everything. And it wasn't until I went to Flying Saucer and actually started the flights that I fell in love with the concept of beer with taste. And I became an instant fan. Actually, I'm number 99 on their card membership at the Flying Saucer at the lake. So I got there as early as I could, and don't have a plate yet because I'm at Lakewood all the time. I don't need to invest on other beers. So I had a great relationship with the, you know, with the beers and the relationship with the police and fire. And you know, my parents never wanted me to be a cop, and I was supposed to probably come home and help run the business, but Wim and everybody at Lakewood has been a blessing to us. And you can get a sponsor, but you can't ever get one that really becomes a partner. People come, they go, you know, big business fires guys, hires guys. But to actually have people that we can come and sit down and talk to and share a beer and a story with, this is that's been an interesting thing. And I think some outside areas are kind of jealous of something that we got started in. And I'll kind of go into the story that my wife kind of helped us spur this. We're at a bar one night, and she orders Fireman's Number 4. And I said, you know, that's really not a fireman's beer. She goes, yeah, it is. I go, no, I don't think it's named after a firefighter. She goes, but it doesn't matter. It says fireman. I'm a fireman. I'm going to buy it. I did some research, found out it's actually a bicycle, and did not know that. So with the concept and the conversation going to Lakewood, I'm like, how come cops and firemen can't have their own beer? It was amazing when we got the phone call that said, hey, guys, we, we're actually thinking about this, and let's help you name it. Well, we couldn't come up with any good names because the cops wanted all police words and the firemen wanted all firemen words. And it's just derogatory to the other guys.
Right.
So coming up with the word all-call kind of had a really, really good feeling to it. And it gives me good opportunity to speak in the public because it's a dual meaning. All-call was, it's gone to hell, we got to come in. And that was the old days when the Claxtons would, you know, the siren, and you guys are probably familiar with that. In the old days, the fire siren went off till somebody got to the fire station and turned it off. So you could hear that thing for 20 minutes nonstop.
Sure.
And then it would shut down. That way you knew somebody was occupying the fire station. All call to a non-craft beer drinker means, hey, guys, let's come to craft and try it. You know, we're calling you guys to a craft beer for a change. And I just had my nephew who's in the beer industry, and I sent a six-pack home to him. He lives in Wichita, Kansas, and he said, oh, man, that was awesome. We've had a great run so far, and I hope the pinnacle continues to climb.
All right, we're going to take another break right now, and we're going to go over our events calendar for the month. Craigers, what's happening on the event side?
Event side, we have a few events coming up, actually Labor Day weekend. We have Art of the Brew going on down in Austin. We will be heading down there. Really cool event. It's also a fundraiser to raise money for the arts. And what we do is we pair up with a artist. Last year, we paired up with our artist, Nathan Walker, a buddy of ours, goes by All the Pretty Colors, and he does some amazing illustrations for all of our Seduction Series bottles. So it was a really fun event, and we're going to be doing that again this year. That is going to be September 3rd, and then we are doing our French Quarter Keep the Glass Night at the Tap Room on September 4th, on the Sunday before Labor Day. So come on out, try that. And then, of course, the big Guns N' Hoses boxing tournament will be on Saturday, September 10th, and you will find all of the LBC crew out there getting rowdy, drinking alcohol, and watching fights. That's going to be a fun one. You can always check our events calendar as well on our website, liquidbrewing.com. And click on calendar, and you will see all of the up-and-coming events.
Yeah, so let's give our listeners a little bit of history on the beer. We're at the brewery. We're always trying to innovate and trying to come up with new and interesting ideas. And one of our former brewers, Jason Van Gilder, came up with a Kolsch recipe. In about 2014, he did a pilot of it, and everyone at the brewery loved it, and it was this great beer, but it didn't quite fit into the lineup at that time. And we kind of always kept it sort of in our back pocket and said, man, we really need to find an opportunity to brew that beer and come out with it. So, as our relationship with Guns N' Hoses kind of grew over the years, Dave kept pestering us and said, hey, you guys should do a beer for cops and firefighters. And I'm like, yeah, we know. We just, we're just not quite sure how to go about it. And then we got to a point where we're like, okay, well, I think the beer that we should do is this Kolsch recipe that we have, because it's easy drinking. It's a very approachable beer for people who are new to craft. To be frank, it's a beer for cops and firefighters. So let's keep it simple, and let's make sure that it's a beer that everyone can enjoy. Because not everyone's going to love double IPAs or imperial stouts, right? You got to make something that's going to appeal to everyone. So we thought that the Kolsch was a great fit for that. Then the problem came, was naming the beer. Naming the beer. If you guys have ever named a beer, when you're homebrewing, it's really easy to name a beer because you call it whatever the heck you want. When you're a commercial brewery, you come up with about 100 names, and then you start looking at the trademark, you start looking at Untappd, you start looking at all the, all the beer apps to see if anybody's making that and has a trademark on it. So we came up with a lot of really cool names, but fortunately and unfortunately, there are a lot of really creative people out there that are doing the same thing that we do, and they had already claimed that name. So we went around and around, and I think it took us at least...
It took months.
It took probably about half a year. Because every time we found one, we would get close, and we'd always come across some hurdle that we're like, okay, well, we can't name it that. And then we finally landed on All Call, and we were like, okay, well, let's type it into the search, and thankfully it came up clean, and we're like, okay, let's move forward. So we actually brewed our first batch in the summer of last year for the boxing tournament back in last September. Mm-hmm. So that's the first time that we actually released the beer was September of 2015.
Yeah. Commercially.
Commercial.
We'd done pilots at the tap room, just small for you guys and things like that. But it had never come out commercially
until
last September.
And we served up 30 kegs that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, at that point, we're like, okay, well, this is going to be a really good test to see if this beer is going to be something that we're going to go whole hog and put everything behind, or, you know, if it's just kind of okay. And everyone loved it.
We were getting nervous. We were half the way through the fights, and we were down to four kegs left. And somebody said, we better get a hold of somebody. We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they were going to call a hot shot and just see if they could get something from the distribution. I knew All Call was going to be out, but... Yeah, we were getting nervous.
Yeah.
It was going. It was working well.
So that was, you know, obviously clear to us that, okay, well, if it went over that well, we really need to put all of our effort behind it. And then, you know, it took us about another 6 months to be able to get it into the lineup. And we did that officially in April. You know, we brewed up in February and March, and then April was the big launch of All Call. Guns N' Hoses, organized as they are, you know, you guys fully mobilized and got behind it, and were at every single pint night and drumming it up on your social media and really getting behind it and supporting the brand. It's been great. You know, last month we sold more All Call than any other beer, Temptress and Lager included. So It's pretty amazing to see how this beer has taken off. I think a lot of people can get their head around it. You know, it's, hey, you guys want to support families of fallen local cops and firefighters? You know, a portion of the proceeds of this beer goes to help out the people that protect you.
That's just that people want to get behind something like that. They want to support something like that. And the beer is just the catalyst for that. And that's why we've just been amazed at how it's taken off and how many of our partners out in the accounts that we're in have, you know, joined in doing fundraisers for you guys and doing events and pint nights, and charities are picking up. And I mean, it's just been amazing. It's amazing to see. And I know on your end, you guys have said it's just incredible to see.
Oh, yeah. You guys actually have come up with the idea, and the guys in the back thought.
Yeah.
About the idea, and we're going to work towards getting the approval from the spouses. Mm-hmm. But on or about the day that you guys can that beer, you guys want to memorialize the individual fallen.
Yeah.
If that happened on the day that you can, you're going to want to put his name and the date or her name and date of fallen on the bottom of the can, which kind of even takes it even way past just beer.
Absolutely. In honor of these fallen officers and firefighters, we wanted to, you know, show our respect to them and put that out so that it's out there and people recognize that this is more than just a beer, that you're really actually supporting something bigger.
I can't just, you know, it just blows me away for the way you guys are coming up with different ideas. And one of the things, and I apologize, but Don has a lot of passion because he's in the Honor Guard also, and you know, he's actually on the board. He's newly selected to be on the board, and there's an awful lot of passion, you know, coming from me, obviously, but these guys have a different flavor to it because of what they see and what it does for them. And I think you can talk about that. But what I appreciate is how the first year you just fight because you want to, and then you really get the whole concept, you know?
My first event going was as a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over at the Mesquite Rodeo. And just to see just how many people showed up for this amazing event. And I had only been on the police department, you know, for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually became part of the Honor Guard. And I lost a friend back in 2007 who was shot in the line of duty. I've lost a friend in 9/11, and, you know, who's a firefighter in the towers.
Mm-hmm.
So being part of the Honor Guard, I get both sides.
Right.
I get the side where we're there for them as support, whatever you need. But also, I'm there on that day where, you know, we're celebrating their life and their career.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard on being on the Honor Guard to be, you know, to see the family hurting.
Right.
But they are so appreciative for us to be there. And it just makes it, it just rounds it out more for me now that I'm part of the Guns N' Hoses. So it just full circle for me, you know.
And he likes beer.
And I like beer.
Never hurts.
Well, who doesn't?
Just don't tell my coach.
Right. No. Yeah, yeah. Right. It's no beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not during training.
It's fat-free.
Yeah. It's fat-free. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's fat-free.
That's right.
And we'll be right back with Lieutenant Swavey and Mr. Alexander after the break.
Hey everybody, Zach here. I just wanted to take a brief moment to thank all of y'all so much for listening to this episode of Taproom Talks. If you like what we're doing here and want to support us, help us get the word out about the show. If you want to rate, review, and subscribe on your podcatcher of choice, if you want to tell a friend about an episode you liked, every little bit is awesome and we appreciate it all. You can find us on the iTunes Store, you can find us on Google Play, or on Audioboom at bit.ly/Taproom Talks. This month's theme has been When the Battle is Over by the Gordon Highlanders. I want to give thanks again to our guests, Lieutenant David Swavey and Officer Don Alexander, for coming in and talking with us. And I am out. I have no more disclaimers to disclaim. So until next month, I will see you guys later when we will be back to talk about homebrewing.
Well, we, you know, as a brewery, we are... As a craft brewery, and I think this goes to a lot of craft breweries. We, as a community and as a movement, are very tied into our individual communities and our individual neighborhoods.
Oh yeah,
you know we've definitely taken it as part of our mission, and you know part of our company culture is that we support the community that supports us. You know, it's a very symbiotic relationship, right? You can't run a brewery if no one's drinking your beer. You know, you can't have awesome beer to drink if you're not supporting the brewery. So it's a really cool relationship, and I think unlike some other industries, it really ties you directly to the people that are enjoying what you make. And you know, to that end, we've always been supportive of nonprofits. We you know, we had a long-standing relationship with For the Love of the Lake, which was tied to the sales of Rock Rider. We support a lot of the local schools and their fundraisers, and now we have this great opportunity and this great partnership with Guns N' Hoses to really affect the community in a very positive way. So it's a blessing for us to be able to give back. You know,
and well, it's been cool to see as the brewery has grown, you guys have grown too, and the organization has just gotten bigger and bigger. And
yeah, and
I mean,
you guys put a patch wall up, so now when you have visiting people from different countries for that matter, they're going to hopefully see that worth and bring their patch. And what I'm talking about is a patch from their shoulder. So they have a patch wall in the brewery, so you can go in and see actually what departments, fire and police, have actually been there. So it's fun for us because that's a history piece that grows all across the country, and that's really a pub.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what a pub is. So we've had a wonderful relationship and enjoying the growth, and can't wait to see what it does again.
Absolutely.
So why do cops and firefighters love beating the shit out of each other so much?
How far can we go back?
Yeah.
I think that's at the beginning of time.
Yeah.
But it's not so much that we like to beat the crap out of each other. It's that friendly rivalry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Testosterone jockeys.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't like police because, that guy gave me a ticket and this and that. And we feel, as being a police officer, everybody loves the firefighters.
And parades for those guys.
Yeah.
Every
so
day.
There's always that friendly rivalry. So, yeah. I mean, like I've got tons of friends that are firefighters from, you know, the Metroplex and also from, you know, New York City. So they always wanted me to be a hose head, but...
yeah.
But I went to the, you know... the good side.
and believe it or not, guys, we actually have three or four guys that have tried out in the past that are both police and fire because they're public safety. So they're trained both. So they decide which side they want to fight for.
Oh nice.
Which is interesting.
That can get a little awkward.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't publicize that. Yeah. Somebody could show up at their door and take them out.
That's awesome. So is the Guns and Hoses boxing event, is that open to the public?
It is open to the public. You can purchase tickets at Ticketmaster where they'll be available. And, you know, there's probably a good few seats left, which we encourage everybody to come out and support their local police and fire. I mean, most of the time there's about 16 to 17 different cities that are represented. Mm-hmm. So you'll come out and see your favorite guys, maybe somebody actually worked around or know as a kid. And as these metropolitan little cities grow up and be big cities, there's a lot more. We had about 108 that actually registered to fight this year. So it takes a lot of process, evaluations and the like, just to get it to that 20-some fights. Opening night, we'll probably have 17. Mm-hmm. And when we get there, there's always injuries and people and such. But it's a good night. 3 hours, come, get ready to drink a lot of beer, look at some pretty women. For the women, if there's female firefighters, the guys that escort them to the ring usually bring the women to their feet. the cops, to me, get to be kind of funny with it, but the cops always look like something from, like, I don't know, Super Cops or whatever. They always got the sunglasses on and no shirt and, you know, Super Troopers or whatever. I'm waiting for them to come down with the tight shorts on. And but, it, you know, it's a good night. It's entertainment, and it really is. It's for a good cause, and we're so excited that Alan has really opened their doors to us, and I'm expecting a full sellout crowd this year.
All right, so awesome. Alan Events Center,
September the 10th. Doors open at 5:30. You can get the tickets at Ticketmaster. You can go to GunsAndHosesTX.com if you have any information. You want to be a sponsor, or you want to maybe purchase a table or a skybox. There's directions on the website on how to get to those.
All right, and there'll be plenty of cold call at that event.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Happy to be sponsors of that, and happy to have an awesome partnership with Guns and Hoses. So everyone go out and support your local fire and police departments.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. And good luck, Raging Cajun.
Thank you.
On your fight.
Raging Cajun.
Go police.
Yeah, we'll be rooting for you, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that'll do it for Tap Room Talks for this month. Thank you so much for Lieutenant David Swavey and Officer Don Alexander for joining us this month. Remember, if you want to go out and support your local police and fire, pick up a six-pack, I'll call, and enjoy.
That's all we got.
Listener mail.
No? Not this week.
Do we have any listener mail?
No,
we
don't. One.
We could make something up. This is a question from BonerJam69 at Yahoo Mail.
Weedlord Boner Hitler wants to know, why do you guys suck so bad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.